This was Sunday afternoon, May 11, 1975, in Richmond, Virginia. The ministry is given through Brother Stephen Kong.
Will you please turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Numbers, chapter 32. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had much cattle, a very great multitude. And they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead. And behold, the place was a place for cattle. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and to the princes of the assembly, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Gezer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elilah and Seben and Nebo and Beon, the country that Jehovah smote before the assembly of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. And they said, If we have found favor in thine eyes, let this land be given to thy servants for a possession. Bring us not over the Jordan. Bring us not over the Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war, and shall he abide here? And why do ye discourage the children of Israel from going over into the land that Jehovah has given them? Thus did your fathers, when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. They went up to the valley of Eshcol, and saw the land, and discouraged the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land that Jehovah had given them. And Jehovah's anger was kindled the same time. And he swore, saying, If the man that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, for they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed Jehovah. And Jehovah's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until the whole generation was consumed that had done evil in the eyes of Jehovah. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, a progeny of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of Jehovah towards Israel. If ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. The last chapter, chapter 36. Verse 1. And the chief fathers of families of the son of Gilead, the son of Makah, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near, and spoke before Moses and before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. And they said, Jehovah commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by Jehovah to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. Now if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and shall be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they shall belong, and it shall be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall come, then shall their inheritance be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they shall belong, and their inheritance shall be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of Jehovah, saying, The tribe of the sons of Joseph has said well. This is the thing which Jehovah hath commanded concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, Let them marry whom they please. Only they shall marry one of the tribe of their father, that no inheritance of the children of Israel pass from tribe to tribe. For every one of the children of Israel shall keep to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And every daughter that possesses an inheritance among the tribes of the children of Israel shall be married to one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children of Israel may possess every one the inheritance of his fathers, and the inheritance shall not pass from one tribe to another tribe, for each of the tribes of the children of Israel shall keep to his inheritance. We have been fellowshipping together on the book of Numbers for a number of times. God led his people out of Mount Sinai through the wilderness, and finally, after 40 years, they came to the eastern shore of Jordan. They conquered two kings of the Amorites, and they stationed in the plain of Moab. Everything was now ready for them to cross the river Jordan and possess their possession. But that just before they were to enter into the promised land and possess their possession, one incident happened. The tribe of Reuben and the tribe of Gad, two tribes, they had much cattle, many cattle. And they saw that the land of the two kings of the Amorites were a land good for cattle. So they came to Moses and said, "Give us the land of the Amorites. This land was just fit for us. We had no intention of going over the Jordan to possess our possession. Our possession should be on this side of the river Jordan. Do not lead us over the Jordan. We would rather stay here. Give the land to us." And when Moses heard this, he was terrified. Why? Because Moses said, "Don't you remember that 38 years ago, your fathers did the very same thing? We were at the border of the promised land, on the southern side of the promised land. We were at Kadesh Barnea, and we could just enter in and possess the land. But the spies came back and discouraged the people, and the people refused to enter into the promised land. And God was angry with your fathers. We wandered for 38 years until that whole generation was wiped out. Only Caleb and Joshua, because they followed the Lord with a perfect heart. And now after 38 years, we came to the border again. And just one step, and we will be in the promised land. And here you are, just like your father. You do not want to enter into the promised land. And if you do that, you would discourage all the people of God, and God might be angry with us, and we will again go back into the wilderness and wander." Moses was horrified. But their minds were made up. They say, "No. We will not forsake our brethren. We will go with our brethren and fight with them until they possess the land. Then we will come back. But we will not have our inheritance on the other side of Jordan. Our inheritance was here. We will build cities.
We will build shelters, strongholds for our women and children. But we will go before our brethren, and we will fight for them and with them. And after the battle was over, then we will come back. Our inheritance is here. In other words, they were determined. So Moses couldn't do anything with them. Moses could only get them to promise that they will do what they said. That they will, the men, will go with the other tribes of Israel over the Jordan and will fight together with their brethren. And if they should do that, Moses said, then, after your brethren had possessed their possession, you could come back to this land. This land belonged to you. But if you do not do that, then you will have your portion on the other side of Jordan. So there Moses divided the land of the two kings of the Amorites to the tribe of Reuben and to the tribe of Gad. But he had added another half tribe. The half tribe of the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Makir. Now, brothers and sisters, what is the spiritual significance of this history? What is this to us today? The land Canaan represents Christ. Christ is our promised land. All the unsearchable riches of Christ are our possession. It is the purpose of God that we shall enter into that fullness of Christ. He delivered us out of this world with a very definite purpose, that we might enter as God's people into the fullness of Christ. Nothing is short of fullness. What is the church? The body of Christ? The fullness of Him who fills all and in all. The church is nothing less than the fullness of Christ. This is the will of God. And here you'll find the people of Israel were at the very entrance to that fullness. And yet, among them, two tribes did not want to enter into the promised land. They would rather stay on the other side, or this side of Jordan, in the land of the Amorites. Now, brothers and sisters, this land of the Amorites was conquered by the children of Israel. God did not allow them to touch the Edomites. God did not allow them even to touch the Moabites. But God did give the two kings of the Amorites into their hands. Through the blessing of God, they conquered the two kings. They got the land. But the land was on this side of Jordan. They had traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. And if only they were across the river Jordan, the wilderness will be behind them. Just like 40 years ago when they went through the Red Sea, Egypt was behind them. But they refused to cross the river Jordan. They chose that land because it was good for cattle. They lived for their cattle. Their cattle was more important than the will of God. They did not live for God. They lived for their cattle. In one sense, the cattle was God's blessing. God blessed them and they got all the cattle. And yet you find they would rather have the blessing of God and refuse to go on to the blesser. They would rather have a little than to enter into fullness. They were afraid of the River Jordan. The River Jordan represents death, but resurrection too. And if they were identified with Christ in death and resurrection, then they were entering into the fullness of Christ. They will be delivered from their flesh. But here you'll find after 40 years in the wilderness, after so many lessons, they still did not learn their lesson. They were still a people living in the flesh. Their flesh was so strong, after 40 years, it was still there. They wouldn't go into death, into the River Jordan. What does it signify to us today? Does it not tell us that among Christians today, there are two different kinds of Christians? So far as God's will is concerned, there should be only one kind of Christians. But so far as our experience shows us, you do find on this earth two different kinds of Christians. Paul mentioned that when he talked to, when he wrote to the Corinthian believers. He said, you Corinthian believers are very different from me, from the apostles. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers and said, already you are filled. Already you have been enriched. Ye have reigned without us. And I would that ye reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set us apostles for the last as appointed to death. For we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, and ye prudent in Christ. We weak, but ye strong. Ye glorious, but we in dishonor. To the present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are in nakedness, and buffeted, and wander without a home, and labor working with our own hands. Rail at, we bless, persecuted, we suffer, insulted, we entreat. We are become as the offscouring of the world, the refuse of all, until now. Now here you say, Paul said, you Corinthian believers are so different from us apostles. Actually, there shouldn't be such difference. God's people should be of one kind. But unfortunately, you'll find God's people begin to show to be of two different kinds. Some are like the Corinthian believers, carnal Christians. They do not enter into the fullness of Christ. They are contented with what little God has blessed them. They live in the blessing of God. They do not live for God. They are afraid to die. They do not want to be identified with Christ in His death and resurrection because it is too costly. And they seem to enter into their possession earlier than the others. They think that the others are rather foolish. Why should they wait? They can inherit right now. They seem to enjoy things before the other people. But here you'll find Paul chided them and said, now already you are filled. Already you are enriched. Already ye have reigned. We are fools for Christ's sake. But you are very wise. Very wise. You know how to get the best of two worlds. We are weak for Christ's sake. But you seem to be very strong. Now, what kind of a Christian are you? Isn't it true today? There are lots of Christians really saved. Not only saved, but they know the blessing of the Lord too. The Lord has given them much cattle. And yet, they stay on the other side of Jordan. They never are delivered from their flesh. They remain carnal. They never enter into the fullness of Christ. And this is terrifying. Why? Because Moses said, you will affect the rest of God's people. You know, we are one people. We are one body. And one member, any member, has an influence, has an effect upon the other, whether it is good or bad. Think of two tribes of the 12 tribes. Refuse to go over the Jordan into the promised land. That certainly will discourage the other 10 tribes. Oh, brothers and sisters, if there are those among us who are satisfied just with the blessing of the Lord and never go beyond blessing into the blesser, if there are people among us who refuse to be identified with Christ in His death and resurrection and continue to live according to the flesh, you know what effect it will be upon other believers. Outwardly, they seem to possess their possession earlier than the rest of their brethren. They got their possession first. But it was not God's fullness. Did they know it? They knew it. How do we know? Because when you come to the book of Joshua, in the 22nd chapter of Joshua, you find that after the wars were over, and Joshua divided the land to the 9.5 tribes of the children of Israel on the eastern side of Jordan. Then the two tribes and half, they went back crossed the Jordan to their possession. But before they crossed the Jordan, they did one thing. They built a great altar. After the altar of God, they built a great altar. And when the news came to Joshua and to the elders of the children of Israel, they were frightened. Why? Because they thought, now, these two tribes and a half, they just left us, and now they build their own altar. They were going to separate from us and worship another god. So immediately they sent Eleazar and they sent the elders to go and investigate. And when they came to these people, they said, now if you are not satisfied with your inheritance, come over. We are willing to share with you. Now don't do this thing. And you know what was the answer? The answer was, no. We do not build this altar as a competition to the altar of God. We do not build this altar to offer sacrifice. We build this altar because it will serve as a witness between you and us. In the future, people probably will say, well, you have no part with us because you're on the other side of Jordan. You don't belong to the chosen people of God. Now, this altar stands here to be a witness that we do belong. They went to all the trouble just to make sure that they still belong to God. They still belong to the chosen people. Why? Because they knew their action was contradictory to the testimony of God. They knew it. Brothers and sisters, do not the carnal believers know that they are not where they should be? They do. Oh, you'll find Christians today go to great extent just to make sure that they are God's people. Look at the steeples. Look at the great cathedrals. Look at all the priesthood. Look at all the things they do just to prove that they are Christians. Just to show that they belong to God. How much better if they put all these efforts in following the Lord. Instead of putting all these efforts to things, trying to prove that they are God's people. And that's what you find with the children of Israel. What a sad thing it was. And history repeats itself. Even today you find the very same thing happened. Lots of Christians refuse to be identified with Christ in His death and resurrection. Even after much wandering and much dealing, they were rather stay with the blessings of God. They do not want to satisfy God's heart. They live for their cattle. They do not live for God. So I think it should serve as a great warning to us today. So thank God, in the midst of this tragic event, here were the five daughters of Zelophehad. You see, Zelophehad of the tribe of Manasseh, he died without any son. He had only five daughters. Now, according to a Jewish way, you know, only the sons inherit the father's property. And having no son, of course, the property that should belong to Zelophehad will go to other people because he had no son, only five daughters. Now remember, all these things happened before they entered into the promised land.
Please turn the cassette over at this point.
Came to Joshua. They said, our father died in the wilderness, not because he joined Korah in that great rebellion. He died because of his own sin, as the rest of the children of Israel. But he didn't join that great rebellion. Now, our father died, and he had no son, only five daughters. Now, does it mean that after we cross over the Jordan, we will have no inheritance there? Even before they enter into the promised land, God promised to give them the land. God promised to apportion to each tribe, each family, a piece of land. And Zelophehad died in the wilderness, leaving no sons but five daughters. And here you'll find these five daughters, they came to Joshua. They said, our father died in the wilderness, not because he joined Korah in that great rebellion. He died because of his own sin, as the rest of the children of Israel. But he didn't join that great rebellion. Now, our father died, and he had no son, only five daughters. Now, does it mean that after we cross over the Jordan, we will have no inheritance there? Think of that. When the two tribes of the children of Israel despised God's inheritance, five girls, they were so anxious, they so treasured God's promise, they even went to Joshua and said, what about us? We will have no inheritance whatsoever. And Moses came to God and said, God, these five girls have said well. Yes, they should receive inheritance. If a person does not have sons, then his property shall fall to his daughters. So here you'll find a good news. The daughters of Zelophehad, they were promised to be given their father's portion. But then, the tribe of Manasseh was frightened. They came to Joshua and said, now it is true. The five daughters of Zelophehad will get their father's portion. But suppose they marry to the other tribe. Then in the year of Jubilee, you know, all the property will return to their original owner. Now, if they were married to the other tribes, then their father's portion will go to the other tribes. In other words, the tribe of Manasseh, they so treasure the promise of God, they did not want to see God's inheritance going out of their hands. So God told Joshua and said, they had said well. Zelophehad, the five daughters of Zelophehad will have their inheritance, but they shall marry within the tribe. so that their portion, their father's portion, will stay permanently within the tribe. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know why? When Moses gave the land of the Amorites on the eastern side of Jordan to the two tribes, he added half the tribe of Manasseh to it. Do you know why? Only two tribes wanted that land. But when Moses apportioned the land, he added a half tribe to it. That half tribe did not ask for that land. And that half tribe belongs to Manasseh, of the sons of Maker. Why? Zelophehad belongs to the son of Maker. In other words, in order to help those who are weak, Moses put half a tribe of Manasseh there to make the link. Because that tribe honor the gift of God, the inheritance of God, more than any other tribe. So Moses did that. The tribe of Manasseh served as a bridge. As a bridge. Brothers and sisters, isn't that what you find in Galatians chapter 6? We are told in Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if even a man be taken in some fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, here you'll find there will be some weak in Christ. Then those who are spiritual should serve as the bridge to restore them, but in the spirit of meekness, lest he himself be tempted. So I do believe that this is the picture that God wants us to see. Dear brothers and sisters, God is not pleased if we are contented with anything less than His fullness. The testimony of the church is the testimony of the fullness of Christ. May God deliver us from being a people who know God, who know the blessing of God, but because of the much blessing, they will rather stay with blessing than go on with the God who blesses. May we be like the daughters of Zelophehad, that we treasure God's fullness more than anything else. And I think if we can learn that lesson, then what we share this afternoon will not be in vain. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast put before us a clear picture of Thy purpose. Thou dost desire that we may enter into the fullness of Christ. It is Thy gift. O our Father, do not allow us to be contented, satisfied with thy blessing only. But do give us that spirit of the daughters of Zelophehad that we want the best, the fullness that God has promised us. O Lord, create such a spirit within us. Whatever cost it may be, if it may mean going through death, O Lord, make us willing to follow Thee with a perfect heart, that on the resurrection ground we may know the fullness of Christ. O Lord, Thou art faithful. Thou who calls us art faithful. And Thou art the one who will perform it. We just trust ourselves to Thee. We ask in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.